Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Now, new guidelines for the treatment of obesity are being launched today. Obesity will no longer be solely defined by weight, recognising that it is a disease defined by many factors. And with me for more on how the measures will work is Professor Donal O'Shea, HSE Clinical Lead for Obesity and Consultant Endocrinologist, and also Susie Burney, who is Executive Director of the Irish Coalition for People Living with Obesity. And you're both very welcome. Thank you for being with me today. So, Donal, let's talk about the new guidelines first. How will they change things for people who are living with obesity?
Yeah, so this is a big step because it's finally saying prevention of a disease and treatment of a disease are different things. So you mentioned, where is the line between prevention and treatment? So we prevent obesity from happening by having healthier lifestyles, by having good stress management, by working on our sleep. You can't influence your genes. You can't influence how the food and drugs industry or food and drinks industry market. And they're the drivers of obesity. When you have obesity, then you need that managed as the chronic disease that we know it is.
So that's to take away the stigma around people who are living with obesity.
Yeah, I mean, there is a societal stigma. There is a stigma within the medical profession, and Susie will talk to this. There is stigma from the individuals who have obesity themselves because they think, because of the narrative, it's all about eat less and move more. They feel self-blame. Why don't I just change? Mm-hmm. But we know from all the studies that have been done that you cannot treat obesity by eat less, move more. Mm-hmm. You need to treat it in a holistic way that incorporates, a good psychological approach, looks at the drivers of obesity, and then uses the treatments that thankfully we are now getting for the disease of obesity.
Is there also an acknowledgement in this that you can't treat obesity by blaming somebody and saying, well, now you must have eaten too much of the wrong foods and sat down for most of the last 5-10 years?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that narrative, the couch potato narrative, drains the energy out of people living with obesity and people who are treating obesity. So if you take any other disease, individuals who had haemophilia and got HIV were being called haemophiliac, and people were, the stigma was massive. People with HIV, the same. If you have a disease, that disease needs treatment. And I'm just going to say skin cancer, due to too much sun exposure for your genes, is treated with surgery and drug therapy. And of course, we ask somebody who has skin cancer to put on sunscreen and wear a hat. Because ongoing effort around prevention is an important part of treatment, but it's not the treatment.
You've touched on something interesting there. So you might lie out in the sun with no protection on and not develop skin cancer. I could do that and develop skin cancer. Is it the same with the disease of obesity?
Exactly the same. So too much energy from the environment for your genes and you will trend up in weight. And if you're in that perfect storm of a decade in your 20s to 30s, and that's where people put on the most weight because they have kids, get a car, stop competitive sport, suddenly you can be a couple of stone up. And there are people eating 1,800 kilocalories a day who are attending our obesity service and not losing weight. And there are people at home eating 2,400 calories a day and not putting weight on.
Susie, thank you very much for joining us. What does it mean to you to hear this morning?
Oh, I'm excited and thanks for having us on today. It's an important topic. I think this is a pivotal moment for obesity care. I think these guidelines are going to direct us out of the silo approach, which has been often happening. I think they highlight the need for the multidisciplinary team approach. I think mostly they highlight that when we work together, all the different departments, that more effective change is going to happen. But I think it's that they're written in a language that everybody can understand. People living with obesity themselves can read and understand the guidelines. And I think they're going to learn how important it is that we move away from BMI, which is a highlight of the guidelines, And I think they're going to address stigma, which, as Donal just has mentioned, is really important.
And stigma for people living with obesity when they see their healthcare worker, be that a GP or anyone else working in healthcare. You say that there are statistics out there that show it takes about 6 years for a conversation to happen between patient and doctor about obesity.
Yeah, I think that's when we say a conversation, a real conversation, because quite often people living with obesity, they in our support groups, they relay experience of going in, say, with an earache, and a GP can say, well, you know, you need to tackle your weight. And that's not the time that they can deal with that, because they're in pain with an earache, and they feel judged that everything is about their weight. But then you have, there's times where they do want to speak about their weight and they don't know how to raise the topic because they've been stigmatized maybe with a different healthcare provider. And we have loads of instances of that. People like going for scans and being told, oh, why didn't you tell us you don't fit in the scanning machine? Sure, how would a person know they don't fit in the scanning machine? But it sets them in a corridor full of people waiting and they don't go back for appointments. So this is why we have to tackle stigma. And unless more people living with obesity and the challenges it brings every day share their stories, people won't really understand what they're going through because we hide it. We don't want to worry family. We don't want to worry people around us. So we kind of tend to withdraw into ourselves and not explain what we're going through. But unless we do that, well, then society even isn't going to make change. And I have to say, the fact that the media are putting a positive spin on this and tackling it and in a positive way is absolutely phenomenal because we all play a part, not just healthcare providers, not just us sharing our stories. We all have to tackle stigma.
Okay, tackling the stigma which is perpetuated by people who work in the medical profession, Donal, how is that done? Because at the moment, how much training is there for people who are in medical school, for example, when it comes to dealing with the disease of obesity?
Yeah, so there isn't enough training, and there are plans now that all undergraduate trainees across all health disciplines will be trained in how to raise the issue of obesity in a sensitive manner, and then how to signpost individuals who are living with obesity and want to address it to the necessary kind of supports. And there's a Making Every Contact Count program, which is an education program for healthcare professionals that has a module in it on overweight and obesity. Mm-hmm. So that's absolutely critical.
We've spoken before about addressing this, and it is fine to say that we're changing the language around it, but the resources are a real problem. And we know when it comes to gastric surgery, there are waiting lists between 4 and 7 years for some people.
Correct.
So if we don't have the resources, how do we address the problem?
Yeah. So that this is the kind of unbelievable thing about this. In the recent budget, Minister Donnelly announced a full funding of our obesity treatment plan. Not part funding. We had a plan in with the department to build obesity surgeries in Ireland up to 1,200 per year. And on the morning of the budget, the minister phoned to say, we are funding your model of care, which a lot of people have been working for a good number of years, fully. So if you had these guidelines coming out today with no plans to resource the treatment, I would be sitting here very unhappy. What you have is a first in Europe clinical practice guidelines for managing overweight and obesity adapted from Obesity Canada guidelines. And you have a Department of Health and HSE who are saying, we are now going to resource what is needed to deliver on this. The big gap is, at the moment, access to drug treatment for obesity. There are new and exciting and effective drug treatments to help treating the treatment of obesity. And at the moment, they're not reimbursed by the GMS. So they're only available to people who can afford them. And we know there's a socioeconomic divide in people living with obesity in terms of there are more people with severe and complex obesity who cannot afford it.
And that hasn't been addressed in this new plan, and the funding doesn't go that far.
It doesn't go that far because the drugs are literally, if I can use the term, hot off the press. The drugs have just landed. There are plans to see how we can incorporate them. But when you have a condition that affects a quarter of the adult population, you can see the cost implications of that are significant and need to be worked through. So I think we're in a better space than we have ever been. But as always, there's areas we need to address.
But we are in this place. We have the plan and we have the funding because we have a massive problem. I was looking at a graph on thejournal.ie last night, which showed the rate of obesity from 1975 to now. The line is almost vertical on that graph.
It is. And while we're ahead of most countries, it's an international trend. And that is being driven by our genes haven't changed in that time.
Mm-hmm.
What has changed is the food and physical activity.
Why are we ahead of other countries? Do we know the answer to that question?
I think we have more people go to Italia 90 than any other country. We are enthusiasts. We embrace things. We're an all or nothing society, mm-hmm. more than many. And I think that's part of it. I think the regulation we have around the marketing of food and formula feed to infants in this country is lacking. So we are growing our obesity problems from infancy. And most countries aren't letting that happen.
Mm-hmm. So, Susie, we have the plan and we have the investment, as we have been saying. But now we need to convince people who are living with obesity and may have had negative experiences with healthcare in the past. We need to convince those people to engage.
We do. And just listening to Donald there, we get many queries of these new treatments, particularly the pharmacotherapy. And we find it hard as an organisation, a patient organisation, ICPO, we have to manage those expectations for people and manage that enthusiasm, as Donald mentioned, because people are living this every day, the challenges, as we've said, and they want help now, but they don't know where to go for help. And then they see something is advertised of this new drug coming and they just think that's the quick fix. So we need to bring it back to that. They have to understand about the multidisciplinary approach, that it is the whole team effort that is going to help them. But that's what we're doing with ICPO. We're trying to raise awareness and we're supporting the SOI and the national program with these guidelines in trying to share them, get everybody to hear about them, bring them to your own GP, do what it takes, because we have so many well-written policies in Ireland in the past. And the problem is getting them implemented. And that, as a patient organisation, is where we try to come in and help push that, to raise the question, why hasn't this happened? You said this was going to happen. We want this to happen. And that's our job. And hopefully we can do it.
Yeah, this new plan, Donald, does it also include obesity in children? Does it address that?
No, this is for adults. And it's adapted from the Obesity Canada guidelines. Obesity Canada are in turn looking at our model of care because they have guidelines but not a model of care. We now have both. They're a little bit jealous. That's good. They are currently writing guidelines for children. And we expect to be the first in Europe to adapt the guidelines for children in the next, I would hope, 18 months mm-hmm. to 2 years.
When do you expect this plan to come on stream then, now that the funding and the plan is in place?
So the clinical practice guidelines are launched today and will be available for all healthcare professionals. And that will begin the kind of change that we need people to start taking on board. It's a complex condition that needs holistic treatment with a full team. So the clinical practice guidelines are now available. The model of care is being funded, and over the next, it's going to be 18 months to 2 years before we have the three surgical units up and running, giving us 400 surgeries in each per year. That will reduce the need for surgical tourism, which we've been reading a lot about.
Yes, and we were talking about it here in the programme.
Too many people are having to travel abroad for treatment that should be available here. And now in time will be available here. And I have little doubt we'll need those numbers of 1,200 a year to edge up closer to 2,000 a year when you look at the shape of that graph that you're talking mm-hmm. about.
Are we doing enough on the prevention side?
There is a lot going on the prevention side. In fairness, the Healthy Eating, Active Living programme, the Department of Transport, there are initiatives, the active school flags, mm-hmm. Breastfeeding and encouraging breastfeeding, which is the absolute best start for lifelong health. So there's a lot going on. You cannot do enough in the prevention space mm-hmm. because the power of the food and drinks industry, the power of the advertising.
Well, I walk into a wall of sweets every time I go to do my grocery shopping.
The Christmas selection boxes were in the major supermarkets before back to school this year. Mm-hmm. Even 3 or 4 years ago, they had the dignity to wait till Halloween was over. But now they can't help themselves. Just stack them high, sell them cheap and promote through Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat to young minds.
All right, we have to leave that one there. But thank you both for joining us, Professor Donal O'Shea and Susie Burney from the Irish Coalition for People Living with Obesity. We'll take a quick break before the news.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.